I guess I don't need that. All right. Fumbling and bumbling. I may or may not use this. All right. I usually start off by apologizing for the fact that, and I hate going behind Greg and now Fran, as she spoke extemporaneously, because I have so much in my heart, and as Annette can tell you, I can get pretty intense when I'm sharing what I feel like God is doing. But also, I can ramble with the best of them, so I tend to read what I have, but I try to read it in a way that it's got some inflection and some rising and lowering of the voice and the tone. So and I'm going to share, as I start out here, I know there are people online who probably don't know me. There are a few people in congregation here today that don't know me, so I'll tell you a little bit about me. And then we'll jump into the sermon. And as you all know, I tend to talk about the things that God's doing in my life and how it affects me, but they tend to be truths with respect to Scripture and how God uses them in our lives. I'm just sharing what He does in mine. Annette has warned me not to say I too many times, not to get too intense, and not to say I because it seems like you're talking about yourself. All I'm really doing is talking about what God is doing, and some of it, as we all know, can be very, very challenging as He teaches us that we can trust Him and how to appropriate His power. So I will. That's about as extemporaneous as I'm going to be, so I'm going to jump into it. But Katie's always smiling. It's the only time she ever smiles at me. All right, so good morning and welcome to Broadlands Community Church. For those of you joining us online, my name is Rich Lewis. I'm a member here, and I'm an elder as well. It's the first time I've spoken, I think, as an elder. Member here, and for the third time, Pastor Wallace has given me the privilege of delivering a message to this congregation. And as I've said before, and this is kind of something I've said in the past, and I think it's relevant, at least because there are newer people here. But with Pastor Wallace, it usually starts with him asking if I would be willing to speak on a particular Sunday, to which I enthusiastically say yes. However, later on, when I realize what I've signed up for, I find myself saying, "What have I done yet again?" It is a daunting responsibility, and it always makes me appreciate the blessing that Pastor Wallace is to our congregation, and I would say for Greg as well, because I think of the elders. Greg is, in this case, he did double duty the last 2 weeks, and he's very good at extemporaneous discussions. Carlos is pretty good at that. I think Woods and I tend to do what I'm doing now. In any event, when asked to speak, and I've shared this 2 years ago as well, when asked to speak, it is my habit to share what the Lord has been doing in my life. First, because it usually involves a spiritual truth, principle, or fruit, as in faith, God's faithfulness, and appropriating God's power, etc. It's something that the Lord has been teaching me by orchestrating a set of circumstances that transfers the spiritual truth or principle into an actual experience with God. And secondly, as Paul says in Romans 1:12, that you and I may be encouraged by each other's faith. So the title of the sermon today is Faith and Relationship, and this is going to turn out to be, and I'll share a little bit about, how I got here, and that it turns out that this is a little bit of a series that goes back to 2021, but it's about faith and relationship. I've titled it as such because I have come to realize that as God has stretched my faith, my relationship with Him has deepened, and my ability to trust Him has grown. There is a connection between the growth in our faith and our relationship with the living God. And it is God who orchestrates the situations and circumstances that challenge and grow our faith. As we see God working in our lives, our relationship with Him deepens. And I'll just keep going because I'll go down a rabbit hole, and I don't want to do that. But more on faith and relationship a little bit later. As always, when God is working in our lives, it's very personal and difficult to translate the palpable response we have as we experience God to the ones with whom we are sharing the experience. I always feel a burden to share my experience with God in a way that translates the reality of that experience to the listener, and that's very difficult to do. I trust that the Holy Spirit will use my experience as he sees fit based upon the Lord's very personal knowledge of each person that hears this message. To be clear, this has nothing to do with me. Is that good, Annette? Nothing to do with me or my spirituality or that I am some wonderful saint. I'm simply sharing what God is doing and how it has impacted my life. As I prepare for this sermon, I realized, as Greg did 2 weeks ago, you might recall as I share it, that I was continuing a series that you didn't know I was teaching, and neither did I. You may recall that as Greg opened his sermon, My Wayward Heart, 2 weeks ago, he made the comment, "This is a series you didn't know I was teaching." And I found myself, as I was preparing for this one, with the same feelings, and I'll share why. Let me take you back a little bit. The title of my September 19, 2021 sermon was Appropriating God's Power Through His Promises. And the key verse was 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, and it's where Paul has a thorn in the flesh, and he's prayed to the Lord to take that thorn away from him. And what I taught on that particular Sunday is that God had been teaching me that that was an unconditional promise, that I didn't have to ask him for anything with respect to that verse. And that verse, essentially, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." Therefore, Paul says, "I will boast all the more about my weaknesses that the power of Christ might rest upon me." And I used to use that as a memory verse, and God began to share that, one, it's unconditional. You don't have to ask me to do anything. You receive my power because it's unconditional. I'm giving it to you, so don't ask for it. Just receive it. Simply receive my promise, name the weakness, and watch what I do. And as Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? And the implied answer is no. When God gives us an unconditional promise, he has to respond to it. So he taught me a lot. I began to, I'll just stay on the topic here, on the sheet. As I began to pray to receive his power in whatever weakness I was confronted with, I began to experience God acting on my behalf in situation after situation. His power being made perfect in my weakness. That was the beginning in 2021 where God really began to change my relationship, and that's why I've connected faith with relationship. And I'll speak more on that as we go. I began, as I just said, to experience God's power in a tangible way in my life. As I read this sermon, I discovered I had written the following in that sermon in 2021. The lead-in question was, do we believe God's power is available today? And if so, how do we appropriate it? And that sermon was based on that particular verse and how God had began to use his power as I had a situation that either my insecurities caused me to worry or stress. I would simply pray, God, I receive your perfect strength in this weakness, and he would do something amazing. So let's fast forward to the title of my sermon in September 22nd, 2024. So in 2021, as I shared, I taught on that. And in 2022, I taught unrelated to this on is the church necessary? There's a better way to say that. But is the church necessary? So then 2023, I didn't speak. In 2024, I taught on, and this was last year in September, do we really believe God? When I prepared this sermon, I had absolutely no memory of the question that I led in with in 2021, which was, do we believe God's power is available today? And if so, how do we appropriate it? I had absolutely no memory of that. The key verse in that, along with another, was 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Also Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge or submit to him, and he will direct your path. My stated purpose was to share with you how God had used my professional struggles to teach me how to appropriate his power in some very, very challenging situations. So going back to 2021, that sermon highlighted how the Lord changed my understanding of 2 Corinthians and how it applied to my life on a daily basis. The 2024 sermon provided examples of how God began to work in my life as I continued to apply the truth of God's word and experiencing his power at work in my life on almost a daily basis. So the primary themes and questions in 2024 last September were, one, responding to life's circumstances in the natural versus the power of the Holy Spirit, which God had begun to show me how to walk in. Some of the questions were, do we all too often default to human wisdom? And I don't know if any of you remember those sermons, and if you don't, I won't be disappointed in you. And then during this period, I had begun to sense God, the Holy Spirit, beginning to prompt me by directing me to do or not do specific things. And as I began to obey, I began to see him working really powerfully in my life. So back to the present, faith and relationship. The third sermon in the series, as I finally recognized it was a series. So what I'm saying is, in 2021, going up to 2024, I had no obvious recognition that they were connected. And as I began to look at this particular sermon, it occurred to me that I had talked on this topic before. So it's really my testimony going forward from when God says, here's how to appropriate my power. Here's how I speak to you. If you do what I tell you and step into that, be available, then I will do some amazing things. So I'll keep going here. What I realize is the connection between responding to God in faith as he invites us to join him in what he is doing and a deepening relationship with him became clear to me. So here's a conversation that I've had with God. It's really a prayer written, and it will lead into, you know, the message today and what I want to communicate. And so my prayer was, and I'll read it, Lord, I believe you have been teaching me how to hear from you and to trust that what I am hearing is actually you. That's always a big question, right? Is it you, Lord? Over the past 4 years, you have been teaching me how to hear from you, obey you, and watch what you do. I have been imperfect in this regard in my participation, but I have watched as you have shown yourself to be sufficient and powerful in my life. The result has been a deepening faith and trust resulting from actually experiencing you in my life. The Bible teaches that we have the privilege of coming to you and asking you for what we need, and if we ask according to your will, we have what we ask for. And I am thankful, and I know we all are thankful for the privilege we have to actually go to God and ask him for things. And I'll speak more on that later, but typically we say when we pray, God has three options: yes, no, or wait. And waiting can be very difficult. Where am I? Got lost. See, that's what happens when I, how could I be lost already? Okay, here I am. I found myself. All right, so over the past few years, I have experienced, and then having just said, we have the privilege of prayer and asking God, says yes, no, or maybe, or later, wait. Over the past few years, I have experienced that God, I said you here because it was a prayer to the Lord, also works more often than we know in and through our lives by speaking directly to us through Scripture and your Holy Spirit, speaking to God again. As you teach us to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, we begin to act upon what we hear, and you do what you are going to do based upon our obedience and your predetermined purpose. As we obey you and step into what you have invited us into, you invariably produce an outcome that can only be explained from the perspective that the God of heaven and earth has done something. When we respond to you on these occasions, you are responsible for the outcome. We simply hear what you have to say, do what you have said, and you will produce the outcome based upon your providential plan and purposes. So here's where the sermon begins. But if I haven't said it enough, the difference between prayer and asking God is we're waiting to see how God will answer those prayers. He may answer. It may be yes, no, or maybe. And again, I'll reference that a little later. But this is very different. This is God inviting us into something. We join him in what he stated And he will do something because he's already determined that he's going to do something if we make ourselves available, step into what he's inviting us to do. God will do something, and it will be done in a way that you know that only that God has done something in your life, and it's probably going to get repeated here. And I'll start again on the text. As Pastor Wallace and of late Greg, not the late Greg, he's still with us, but more recently Greg, have said, as well-meaning children of God, we, with the best of intentions in our flesh, try very hard to be good people to please God. And he's spoken this last week, Greg did, that is. We have a list of things we believe Christians should do, and you know what they are for you or they have been for you. We work very hard to do the things we ought to do and refrain from those things that we know are sin. We do this in part, or at least I do or have done. God has begun to change me, and I'm sure he's changed you all over time as well. We do this in part to remain in good standing and a right relationship with God and to please him. And again, that's another subject. Fortunately, Greg talked on that subject last week. Greg and his Love Brings Freedom sermon last week did a great job highlighting how we unwittingly put ourselves under the yoke of bondage as we work to please God and to be good Christians. And he read Galatians 3:1-3 and 5:1, and I'll remind you as I read them here. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish that by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? So also, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And 5:1, Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And I think Greg did a very good job making that clear to us. And I would say here, we cannot reach up to God by following rules, practicing religion, or keeping the law. Yet quite often we find ourselves in that very place. Greg shared several thoughts last week that I think are relevant here. I will highlight them but direct you to Greg's sermon for perspective and context. Greg talked about the burden of obligation, feeling like we have to do something versus allowing God to do something. He talked about the burden of responsibility, and he related that to who is God in our lives. Are we God, or are we allowing God to be God in our lives? And he also talked about the burden of trying to live right. Righteous observance will never move us any closer to God from a relationship perspective. And he went on to say, what does God say about that? God says to us, hear and do. And if you haven't caught on yet, that's what we're talking about. We can do all those things from a religious perspective to try to find our way to God, to get the things from God. And we do have the privilege of prayer. I think God's preferred direction is that we would hear him, that still small voice, learn how to hear him, be much more sensitive, and he has to help us with that as well. As we hear the Spirit, we step into things that the Lord is inviting us into, and God is prepared already to do something. He's inviting us in, and something will happen. We don't have to wonder if, when. We may not know what the outcome's going to be, but God's going to be responsible for that outcome. So again, hear and do. As Greg said last week, we don't bring anything to the table. We don't. God wants to live his life through us. He says, my Spirit will guide you. The Lord invites us into relationship. And so as I began to look at that faith relationship, the things he had walked me through over the last number of years, and how it's changed my relationship, that's how I came up with the title, Faith and Relationship. And I'll expand on that as we go. Over the past 4 years, God has been teaching me to trust him, or rather, and this is critical, he's been confirming that I can trust him by directing me to do things and causing an outcome that could only be explained by the fact that God had just done something. That's a reality of life with God, all right? It's nothing I did. I wasn't doing anything from God. There wasn't a need, and I fulfilled it, and now I feel good about myself as a Christian. And it doesn't mean I'm not being critical of that. But I think in this case, God is saying, I want to show you with all my heart. I want to be in an intimate relationship. If you hear me, step into what I'm asking you to do, you will see me operate in your life. I know Woods, and I think the ladies that I see, the ladies are going to be doing the Ian Thomas novel, which is The Saving Life of Christ. I think I saw that or heard that earlier. In any event, I know Woods is going to talk about the things the men at our book study have been learning from the readings and audio lessons of Ian Thomas, but my discussion will parallel some of his teaching because much of what I read in his book, The Saving Life of Christ, and it's what I'm talking about now, described what God had been showing me over the past 4 years or so. It seemed to confirm that what I was experiencing was genuinely how God works in our lives. What I had come to believe is that he invites us into specific situations with him that deepen our faith and our relationship with the living God, because it's exactly what it does. He invites, we step in, and he does something. It's not an intellectual assent at that point. It's living day to day with the God who loves us. So I titled this message, Faith and Relationship. I intended to speak on faith alone, but as I prayed and sought God's purposes in this message, for this message, and based on what I believe God has been teaching me, it made sense to change the title. What I realized is that the steps he asks me or asked me to take, however insignificant, however the step itself was, and however insignificant the outcome, it required faith. And when I obeyed and did what he said, the outcome was such that it was clear that God had done something. In my previous message, I called them many, M-I-N-I, miracles. You may remember that. As if, again, I said at the time, anything that God does is small. But I called them many miracles in that the only explanation was that God had determined the outcome. So I'll take you back a little bit. When I spoke on September 22nd, 2024, the topic was, do we really believe God? In part, it focused on the fact that I, and maybe you, all too often default to human wisdom, which puts us at risk of missing what God has planned for us, and that God might, in fact, direct us to do things that challenge our human reasoning. One of the themes was also based upon 2 Corinthians 12:2-9, where Jesus tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. And you've heard this before last year. I alluded to it today, but I'll repeat it because I think it bears repeating. When I started praying to receive Jesus' power in whatever weakness I felt related to the situation or circumstance at hand, I began to experience what I can only call, again, many, M-I-N-I, miracles. I went on to say last year, they were daily occurrences because he used multiple situations during the workday to present opportunities to show himself faithful. In every case, I was responding to a circumstance that triggered a weakness in me. I sensed the Holy Spirit directing me to take a specific approach to the situation, and as I began to listen and obey, I experienced God orchestrate an outcome that could only be explained by concluding that God did something. And as the women go through the study, the Ian Thomas, The Saving Life of Christ, he highlights the reality of how God works in this particular way. That invitation, he does something, and the outcome is such that you know God, it's real. It's not, is God going to answer the prayer? Is he going to give us what we want? Maybe, maybe not, or maybe we're just waiting. That's fine. God works that way as well. But he was driving the point on, for me that... where was I? See, that's what happens when I start to wander. I think I just read this. In every case, I was responding to that circumstance that triggered me. Let me read that paragraph again so that it flows better. So in every case, I was responding to a circumstance that triggered a weakness in me, and I sensed the Holy Spirit directing me to take a specific approach to the situation. As I began to listen and obey, I experienced God orchestrate an outcome that could only be explained by concluding that God did something. And as I said a year ago, I couldn't have been more aware of his power being made perfect in my weakness if he had raised someone from the dead. And it's so true. And I gave examples last year, you know, work-related things where he directed me to take an approach and not take approach. And based upon anybody's experience in their profession, right, you kind of understand how a particular thing is going to unfold typically. And when God does something drastically different, it's very clear that God stepped in. The sermons are online if you want to go back and look at some of the examples. But again, I mentioned when I said it last year, I couldn't have been more aware of his power being made perfect in my weakness if he had raised someone from the dead, because it's clear that God is doing something out of the ordinary. This happened repeatedly, and I began to realize that my faith and trust in God was changing, and the reality of God actually operating in my life in relationship with me was very real. As I said earlier, God gives us the ability to come to him in prayer, for the things that are on our hearts. It has been said, and I said that earlier, it has been said in the Christian circles that when we ask God for things in prayer, the answer may be yes, no, or wait. And just as an aside, I have often felt that we put God in a box when we limit him in any way, but I believe that minimally, those are three of the options available to our omnipotent God. I would just hesitate to say they're the only three. If you're like me, when God delays, we are often impatient, and over a period of time, if you're like me, we begin to make statements like, why is God not answering our prayers? What are we doing wrong? And at that point, our enemy, the devil, attempts to convince us that we can't trust God, and if we're not careful, we will allow him to do so. And I think if you're like me, again, and you're in those situations, you've asked God for a number of things, he hasn't answered yes, no, or wait, and you would never actually say to God, I don't trust you, but in the quiet of your own mind, you begin to wonder if you can trust the Lord. But you would never say it, you stop short of that. But what we do begin to say is, I don't have any hope. Right, it's the same thing. It's just it's less indicting in terms of the issue of trust. Right, it's I don't have any hope when I pray because I don't see God answering our prayers. I guess that's what I would say there. We have the privilege. We pray. However, back to the topic and what I believe very strongly in, and what the saving life of Christ. Absolutely, through solid Christian text, confirms that God does work this way. The Lord is always speaking through the Holy Spirit and is inviting us into a vibrant, experiential, living relationship with himself. In this modern world and with its distractions and responsibilities, we seldom have or take time to quiet our hearts and minds long enough to hear what God may be saying to us. To be sure, this is not unique to our generation. This statement is not meant as a criticism of any person or of Christians collectively. As Greg said last week, it is with the best of intentions that we try to act and behave the way we think we should as people of God. We bring our unique personalities, talents, and giftings to our daily walks, and that is, these are the gifts and talents that God has given us, and we genuinely seek to please him and do his will. The Bible teaches that God has a genuine desire to be in an intimate relationship with us, and that we would know he can be trusted with our lives and the lives of the people we love. He calls us children and tells us to call, he calls us children and tells us to call him Abba Father. Romans 8:15 says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. In the Bible, Abba, Father refers to a profound relationship of intimacy, dependency, and trust with God, combining the intimate Aramaic term Abba, meaning my father, with the Greek father to express a deeply personal yet reverent address to God. This is a touching example how the Lord feels about us. He loves us enough. He loved us enough to send his son to die in our place. He loves us with a sacrificial love. As I said earlier, I believe the Lord is always speaking through the Holy Spirit. He wants us to experience a vibrant, intimate, and experiential relationship with Himself. The intimacy that God desires come from knowing Him and experiencing Him in our lives. As we allow the Lord to teach us how to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice, we are better able to know what the Spirit is saying to us. And as we respond obediently to the Spirit's guidance, we will begin to experience the Lord working in and through us in a real and tangible way. This is not a situation where we are asking God for something in prayer. These are situations where you sense the Spirit of God is directing you to do something, the outcome of which is determined by God. We are simply being invited to join God, and as we accept His invitation, regardless of how insignificant the outcome may appear or what the ask was, it will happen in a way that only God could have orchestrated, and our faith and relationship will deepen because we will be experiencing God in our lives, which is exactly what He wants. And a word of caution, I know some may be asking, as Annette always asks me when I say, I think God is telling us to do this. How do you know it's God? So the questions might be, how can I know I'm hearing from God or hearing from Satan or convincing myself that it is God to pursue my own agenda? I will start by saying from a personal perspective that in almost every case that I've sensed God, the Holy Spirit, prompting me in a particular direction, He almost always confirms it with Scripture multiple times. Because I, like anybody else, I think, I've shared with many, I believe my spiritual gift is faith, and God has used that throughout my life. We all have faith, but I believe He's giving me that gift, so I'm typically very willing to step into something that most of my other Christian friends would say, God would never ask you to do that. And I've done those things. You do want counsel, to be sure, but you don't have to ask 10 people. You talk it over with your pastor. You talk it over with a Christian friend. But I know that, you know, my lovely bride has had to follow me into places where all except one Christian friend said, God would never ask you to do that. And miracles happen, would you say, right? I mean, those are stories for another time, but He has confirmed with me how He walks with me, but it's still scary depending on what that ask is. So I think I've just read that. He almost always confirms it with Scripture. And while it is not my intent to teach on hearing from God or how to hear from God, I will share some thoughts on what I believe are some of the best practices to consider. I believe God most commonly communicates through His Word, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit that indwells us. I know we all believe that. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Does the thought go against His Word? God will not contradict Himself. Will following these promptings lead to sin? Those who keep in step with the Spirit have crucified the flesh. Psalm 119:105, Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God does direct us, and He generally, unfortunately, doesn't tell us everything He wants us to do and how what the end result is going to be. It's one step at a time. As we step in faith towards what God is inviting us into, He will tell us the next step. And I would say, and I'm going to put my finger here so I know how to get back to where I was. So often when God calls us to something, and it's difficult as we step into it, we and others will say, see, I told you, you didn't hear from God. If you had, it would be smooth sailing. My response is always, look at those people and individuals that God called in the Bible. There was nothing easy about what they did. They had to trust God through each of those processes. I mean, one of the things that I was getting at last year is that we all too often default to human wisdom because it's tried and true. And when I speak of human wisdom, I'm not suggesting that it's wrong or sinful because they're best practices. We know if you do that, you probably ought to get a job if you're out of a job, right? You need to go to work every day, whatever. And there are things that obviously are much more involved than that. So human wisdom is not a bad thing, but I think God wants us to hear His position on everything that we do. So, word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And by wisdom, James is talking not only about knowledge, but about the ability to make wise decisions. So God, especially when he's inviting us into something that is a hard decision for us to make, we definitely need the Holy Spirit. We need confirmation in the Word. But once we know it, we can step confidently in there. And the last thing I would say regarding hearing is talk to God in prayer and earnestly wait for his answer. And so I'll leave it with that. But of course, it is important to make sure that we are hearing from God, and there are steps to take to be sure of that. And God will ultimately make it clear what he's asking of you. God calls us his children, and he wants an intimate relationship with us. Quite often, we find ourselves working to be good Christians so that we can please God and stay in relationship with him or stay in his good graces. And I think God is saying, I've invited you into a relationship, and I am responsible for that. As Greg demonstrated last week, and as I know you all know, Jesus died for our sins, past, present, and future. It is for freedom that Christ set us free, but we should not use our freedom to indulge the flesh. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a free gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And to that I would say, it is God who invited us into relationship to begin with by giving us the free gift of faith to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Philippians 2, 13, it is God who works within you to will and to do for his good pleasure. I'm starting to close, but it'll still be a few pages. It is God who continues to invite us on a daily basis to enjoy an ever-deepening relationship with him. God gives us the desire to do a particular thing and the grace and strength to do it at his invitation. As we continue to make ourselves available to God, as the Spirit prompts us, we will experience God in our lives, and our faith will no longer be based on intellectual assent, but on experiencing God, sometimes daily. When we accept Christ as our Savior, a lifelong sanctification process begins, orchestrated again by God, as he, based upon his providential plan for each of our lives, begins to transform us to look more like our Savior Jesus. John 15:5, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And those of you who go read through the Ian book, you'll hear that a lot. And the question is, what does Jesus mean when he says this? What he means is, without him, we can do nothing. We can do good things, but the spiritual value is not what it would be if God is directing us. Jesus uses the analogy of the vine and branches to explain that just as a branch cannot produce fruit on its own but relies on the vine for life and nourishment, believers cannot accomplish anything spiritually significant without remaining connected to him. And it doesn't mean we can't make decisions, we can't do things to help people, to be engaged in our community, but it's only those things that come from God directionally that have eternal value that we step into. Jesus the vine, Jesus is the vine representing his life and power from which everything else draws its strength. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Believers are the branches dependent on the vine for their ability to live, grow, and bear fruit. As Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. And I literally live by, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more about my weakness that the power of Christ might rest upon me. He does something almost every day in my life. And if I'm stepping into a situation and something triggers an insecurity or weakness, I watch him daily. And I mean, I'm sure there are many people who do that, but it revolutionized my relationship. I'm telling you that. And that's coming from the heart. When I stepped into that unconditional verse, I saw God work all the time, and it certainly changed my relationship with him. I'm not a more perfect human being. I'm not more spiritual. I'm just, God is allowing me to experience him working in my life, and it changes the relationship, which is, again, back to the title, Faith in Relationship. We are dependent on Christ, and I'm coming to the end for those of you who might be fidgeting. True spiritual productivity and meaningful accomplishments in God's service are not possible through human effort alone, but require a living connection to Jesus. Back to Philippians 2:13, it is God who works within us to will and to do for his good purposes. And like so many other scriptures, and like My Grace is Sufficient, we read scripture a lot. We hear great sermons a lot. We walk out telling each other, wow, that was a great sermon. And we never ask ourselves after we clear the door, how would God like me to use that? And for 4 years, he's been teaching that if you step into any scripture, and he's not going to use the same thing for you as he used for me. We're all on the same journey, but he's doing different things in lives, and that sanctification process continues until he calls us home. But he is working every day within us to will and to do for his good purposes. How many years have I gone through day after day after day after day taking the gifts and talents he's given me and not asking him how he wants me to use them, or not listening to see if he wants me to take a different approach? Again, Jesus invites us to join him in his work as he speaks to us and we make ourselves available to him. Our relationship with him will change forever. Anything done apart from this connection lacks eternal value, even if it seems good on the surface. As I said earlier, Woods will be sharing how the men in the book study have responded to what we have learned through reading Ian Thomas's book, The Saving Life of Christ, and I know some of the women will get that soon as well. I believe each of us feels the Lord is inviting us into a deeper relationship with him via the teaching he has brought through this book. I think Carlos is here. I don't see Greg, or there's no other elder here that I see. But it's changed how we look at life with God, I believe. The unity we have as we've read through that, in that room from time to time, it's palpable. And we have non-elders there as well. But it's really changing, you know, how we look at walking with God. But again, I believe each of us feels the Lord is inviting us into a deeper relationship with him via the teaching that he has brought through this book. And I'll be clear, while Ian's book is not the inspired word of God, I believe the Lord has given Ian unique insights based solidly on the inspired word of God. God invites us into what he is doing, and as we accept his invitation, we will have a personal experience with our Heavenly Father based upon his providential plan for our lives. When our children were young and we were introducing them to God, we always made it clear that we were not introducing them to a religion, but rather a living relationship with the living God and creator of heaven and earth. That God, going on to say to them, that God is alive and wants to be in an intimate relationship with them. When I look back on what God has orchestrated in my life over the past few years, some of it quite challenging, I realize that he has changed my relationship with him. As I consider the connection between growing our faith, meaning believing God, and doing what he says, and the impact it has on our relationship with God, it crystallized for me the importance of Hebrews 11:6. This, and Hebrews 11 is the Faith Hall of Fame. But it crystallized for me 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it goes on to talk about in chapter 11, some of the Hall of Fame members. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Now again, speaking of human wisdom and defaulting, I think we all would have defaulted to human wisdom. It was, I don't have the time frame in my mind, but it was lots of years, maybe 70, maybe 100. I'd have to go back and look. God didn't do it fast. Again, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Again, hey, kids, Annette, get in the car. We're going to take a trip. Where are we going? I don't know, but God will show us. Defies human wisdom. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Last year I spoke a lot about defaulting to human wisdom and the things that God invites us into, and so often those things really do require us to default to human wisdom. Well, nobody would ask us to do that. God wouldn't ask us to do that, and I think we miss what God wants to do in our life. Now, they don't come every day. I mean, God's not going to ask most of us to build an ark, right? But he's going to ask us to do things that really do cause us to question if it is him and if we should do it. Ephesians 3:20, to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or ask according to his power that is at work in us. And Wallace taught a lot in Hebrews as well. But it is the power of Christ working in and through us. And I think more often he wants to take us there by directing us and then experiencing him in our lives. And that doesn't negate all of our personal prayers to God based upon things going on in our family or job. Whatever is happening in our lives, we have the privilege of prayer, and many times God answers. And even those things are according to his will, we're pretty impatient about it. I guess I would leave you with this. God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants us to become more and more like his son, our Savior Jesus. And he orchestrates situations and circumstances to grow our faith and deepen our relationship with him. I believe he is always speaking to us by the Holy Spirit. And as we make ourselves available, we only need watch the outcome that he produces and be amazed. It will literally change your relationship with God. And so other thoughts are flowing through my mind, but I think I will let it go there. I'll pray, and then I'll rejoin the praise team. Dear Father God, I thank you just for the privilege of being here. It is daunting, Father God. I hope it made sense. I do trust, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, if there's someone in the congregation that you are speaking to directly, you will. It's your responsibility. You are responsible for the outcome. As we stand here, we do our best to be faithful to Scripture and to your word, Father, but on our best days, Father, you are responsible for the outcome. We step in, do what you ask us to do, but you are responsible. So, Father God, I pray that you would take this message both here in the congregation, anyone that's online, and speak to them based upon what you are doing in their lives. And it's in the precious and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.